But the soldiers cut off the ropes of the boat and they let her fall. Wherefore I pray to you to take some meat, for this is of your health. For there shall not an hair fall from the head of either of you. But the centurion, willing to save Paul, kept them from their purpose and commanded that they which could swim should cast themselves into the sea and get to land. And the rest, some on boards, some on broken pieces, and it came to pass that they all escaped to land safe. Some coming on fragments, some climbing the rough side of the mountain, some on bits and pieces.
With Greg Tejada, pastor of the Word Christian Center in Alexandria, Louisiana. I invite you to stay tuned as I share a powerful message from God's Word that will change your life. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. And now, here's today's message.
Colossians 1, 17, 18. And he is before all things, talking about Jesus, and by him all things consist. He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have preeminence. Jesus is the head of the body. So who's the head of the body?
Jesus.
Jesus is. So don't say that the body is not significant, because he's the head of it.
Amen?
Amen? He's the head of it. Ephesians 5, 24, therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be their own husbands in everything. The church is subject unto Christ. Now, is he talking about the building being subject to Christ? Is he talking about just the pastor being subject to Christ? No, he said the church is subject to Christ. The church is all of us. All of us are subject or come under his authority, or should be living under his authority. That means that we're accepting his will as the way to go. Amen. Romans 12. 4 and 5, for as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. So you see, when Jesus builds his church, he makes it so that we have to that we are dependent upon one another for a supply. There's a supply that you give, and there's a supply that you receive. He tempered the body that way together. That means he fashioned us so we would need one another. Amen. To do his will. That's why that lie that's out there, oh, it's just me and Jesus, the Lord, I don't need no church, I got Jesus. All I need is King Jesus. That's a lie, because that ain't what Jesus said. Jesus don't validate that. He don't validate it as being the truth at all. He is all you need for salvation. But if you're going to do the will of God, you're going to have to be connected to some other people. And he has connected you, and maybe that's a problem. You don't like who he connected you with. Some people say, I ain't going there. I can't stand so-and-so. Well, you need to get over so-and-so, and you need to focus on Jesus. Some people leave church because somebody hurt their feelings. I passed by an usher one day. It was right before service. I was in a hurry. I came in here to check on something, and I darted, you know, through the foyer, and he's standing at the back door, and I went past him. I didn't speak to him, didn't even see him, because my mind was focused on something else. Then I didn't see them for 2 or 3 weeks, and I called, talked to his wife, and said, well, where y'all been? He said, well, we ain't coming back. I said, how come? He said, my husband mad at you. I said, what he mad at me for? You passed him the other last two, 3 Sundays ago and didn't speak to him. Say, what? I didn't speak to him. He come back to the church. I said, I didn't even see him. He said, you walked right past him and didn't speak to him. I said, look, I'm praying with this man 3 times a week, early morning. This is why I was praying at 5:30. I said, this man ought to know me better than that. I'm speaking into his life. I'm discipling him. And one time I walked past him because, you know, when y'all out there working, I don't bother you. Sometimes I might walk past you and not speak. You shouldn't get offended over something so stupid as that. Pastor think he's stuck up? Nah, he don't even think he more than us. Nah, walk past me and didn't even notice me. I'm going to tell you, one thing I got is the power of focus. When I'm focused on a task, I remember one time I was preaching in a church and them people walked all over me during the service. Just walked right in front of me while I'm preaching. I ain't see nothing. After the service, CeCe said, Greg, how you preach with them people walking all over you? I said, what people? She said, you didn't see all them people walking in front of you? Why? I mean, you dodging some of them. I said, no, I didn't see nothing. You didn't see that? Mm-mm. I didn't see nothing. I had locked in to 4 or 5 people that I knew was listening. And I was preaching to them. I didn't see all that other peripheral stuff. So don't get offended if the pastor walk by and don't speak. Know me. Know those that labor among you. Know my heart that I ain't no stuck up somebody that's just going to ignore you on purpose. I ain't gonna get mad at you if you don't speak to me. I don't know how far I'm gonna get. Glad I got the arm of God on this morning. Listen to these scriptures here. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now, all these scriptures come out of 1 Corinthians 12. I'm gonna skip around a little bit, but I'm gonna read them to you. Listen to this. For as the body is one and have many members, and all the members of that one body being many or one body, so also is Christ. For the body is not one member, but many. But now have God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it has pleased him.
All right, that's good.
So, you don't get to choose. I remember reading a book, and the guy was talking about, you know, people, how they neglect to assemble themselves together, even about the call of God. And they were preaching a revival, and then they say, tell me about the call of God that came to your life. Tell me, they want to talk to the pastor, you know. Give me a testimony how you got called to the ministry. He said, oh, I didn't get called. I didn't get no call. He was going to college in some curriculum that got too hard. He said, you know, that was too hard for me. I was having a tough time. I decided I'd do be a pastor. You had a lot of people out there like that ain't got no call. They look at it as occupation. Well, you know, I think I'm just going to do this. They ain't got no call on them at all. See, you don't call yourself to preach. You don't call yourself to be a prophet, an apostle, evangelist. God set you in what he wants you to be.
Amen.
So really what you do is say, Lord, whatever you want me to be, I'll be it. And as you obey God and as you begin to function in the body of Christ properly with the proper relationship, then as you serve, you literally serve your way into your calling.
That's true,
Chris. That scripture blessed me so much there that God has said every member, everyone, and it said every one of them, everyone, Chris, every one of them have been set in the body as it pleased him. And so I say, Lord, just wherever you set me, I'm pleased. If you please, I'm pleased with where I'm at. I'm pleased. Long as I'm set where you set me, long as I'm doing what you call me to do, if you please, I'm pleased.
Amen.
I just want to do what you call me to do.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So you've been set in the body whether you want to or not. Whether you want to be set in, you're a part of the church. You're a part whether you want to be or not. Because the body is not one member. And that's why you can't say, it's just me and Jesus. Because the body is not one member. The body is not one. It's not you and Jesus alone. It's you and many others. And if you don't recognize that relationship, then you're going to shortchange yourself in life, and you may not even do what God called you to do. You remember when Jesus said, "Why call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" And then he said, "For many will say to me in that day, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? And in your name cast out devils. And in your name done many wonderful works." And he's saying, "Then I will profess to them, depart from me, ye that work iniquity, I never knew you." These are people that are doing religious works, but it ain't what God called them to do. That scripture put the fear of God in my heart. It really does. Because I don't want to be in that group that say, "Lord, you remember that day I cast some devils out? Remember that day I did all them wonderful work? Remember that day I prophesied in church, gave a tongue in interpretation?" He said, "I don't know you. I ain't called you to do none of that. This is what I had for you. Depart from me." See, that put the fear of God in me. I don't want to hear depart from me. People that are doing their own thing and they ain't consulting God, they ain't praying about it. They just doing what feel good and what seem right. And that's what those are things that feel good and seem right is things that Satan offered to you. In exchange for the real will of God, he'll give you something that feel good, seem right, something that think right. I mean, it just seems like this is right, but it ain't right because it don't line up with the word. You can get in a lot of trouble that way. And you can think you're saved and not be saved. If you're not submitted to Jesus, how you can be saved? If you're not doing his will, how you saved? Salvation means you surrendered. You gave up your will. So if you still living your will out, not even concerned about the will of God, how you saved that way? You might be deceived into thinking you saved. I was deceived into thinking I was saved. I thought I was on my way to heaven. I was one of them ones. Yeah, I'm a Christian. But I was doing my own thing, living my own way. I wasn't asking God about nothing. You know, when I got in trouble, need a little help, you know, and the Lord, hey, hook me up. Give me the hook up. But by and large, I was doing my own thing. I wasn't seeking him, wasn't praying. You know, I pray every now and then when I think about it, say the Lord's Prayer. You know, you say that by heart. You know, your heart ain't even connected. That's just words coming off the top of your head. How many of you remember the Lord's Prayer? You just say it like that, don't even think about God. I wasn't saved. And that's what happened. You had to guard against people coming to the altar, receiving Jesus, but not repenting of their sins. Because repentance means there's been a change in your will. I ain't doing that no more. That means your will has changed. If you come and say, "Jesus, come into my life. I want you to be my Lord and Savior." What does Lord mean? Lord means master. Means that you submitted to him now. So if you come and say, "Jesus, come into my life. I'm saved now. Thank you. I received Jesus." Went to the altar. And then you go back and don't nothing change in your life. And you keep living like you're living. You don't, there's nothing. I mean, you don't change anything. You just added church attendance to your schedule. You're not saved. Saved means you're in the hot pursuit of Jesus. Saved means you're following him. See, Jesus said, "If any man come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me." That's salvation.
You have been listening to Living by the Word with your host, Greg Tejada, pastor of the Word Christian Center in Alexandria, Louisiana. I trust that you received the Word.